harbor voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This. It's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor storage. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Earlier, I guess somebody just didn't want that chat room to be working, and so, went under attack. So that's alright, we got it back. Explain that all later sometime. Anyway, it's not always easy doing what we do here at Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table. We're always kind of coming up against trolls and knuckleheads and people that don't like what we have to say. Now, I put up there on the description of this chat room, I aim to prove free energy. And that's exactly what I aim to prove. So, I do all kinds of different research in all different types of directions, everything that has to do with alternative energy and anything that has to do with electrical or any way to get any kind of heat source or cooling or power source or whatever. And I point out all different types of different things that you can use, repurpose things like old washing machine motors and things like that, and do all kind of testing, and I share all kinds of videos and put this website here together for everybody to come here and talk about all these ideas. On my YouTube channel, I got 269 videos, and there's a method to my madness behind some of these videos, but nonetheless, if you've watched them and realized what it is that I've been doing all along, then you'd see why it is that I go about it the way I do, or, you know, reasons of, you know, attacks on your chat room, or attacks on your radio network, or trolls on your YouTube, you know, all the thumbs down are crazy that come by. I think some people just subscribe to me just to thumb down because they don't like my terminology or whatever it is that I say. So, nonetheless, I don't care whether they like what it is I have to say. I don't care whether the government likes what I have to say, or the power companies, or any of the industries out there that happen to mention on the Mad Science Show. This ridiculousness that I have to tolerate on a regular basis just to bring this show to the people out there that are interested in alternative energy, it's just beyond crazy. You know, but I'm still here. It took me a while to get through all the technical difficulties this morning with the live stream and everything, redoing the chat room and all that kind of jazz. And so, you know, this is to be expected, because usually when people don't like what you have to say, they find little rotten ways to try to mess things up. So I'm not exactly sure on how they attacked the doggone chat room, but they did. And so, nonetheless, there you go. But we'll figure it out eventually. Because unfortunately for knuckleheads, they usually leave breadcrumbs behind, and you'll know why, where it came from. Regardless, we're there. So anyway, put the Mad Science Show together and Shaziz Radio to share ideas with the people of the world to make the world a better place. That's what it's all about. It's what it's been all about all along. And because I know how things function out there in the real world, and that people, you can't always trust some folks, you know. You gotta be kind of careful when you choose your friends out there in cyberspace, because they like to basically control and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And so with that said, you know, everything that you hear here on the radio show, these are my own opinions, my own views, my own view on the world and stuff. And so everything that I do here, I finance the entire operation. I don't ask anybody for any kind of financial support. I reach into my own pocket, and I pay for the website, and I pay for the live streaming and all this kind of stuff, because I want to ensure that, you know, while I'm trying to produce good content for everyone to share, that nobody has any way that they can, you know, destroy it outside of, you know, hacking into everything like we seem to get done a lot to us when we hit certain subjects, or, you know, somebody just gets mad and does something crazy to me or whatever. You know, hey, this isn't my first rodeo. I've been down the road with this stuff before. I've been had streams interrupted. I've had my chat room destroyed. I've had my website blocked out. You know, this has been an ongoing issue since I tried to start bringing this type of content to the table. But I'm still here, and you know, I'll be here as long as I'm able. You know, tomorrow, There's not going to be a Knights of the Round Table show because of the holidays. We're going to go out and spend some time with family, and I need a break anyway because it's it's pretty taxing sometimes. But nonetheless, I'll post that reminder in all the chat rooms and stuff like that to let everybody know that tomorrow's show won't be a live show, and we'll make up for it with the days that aren't holidays, I guess. Anyway, so I'm just trying to give you a little bit of an explanation of why I do the Mad Science Show. Mostly because there's a lot of people out there in this world that need to be able to live in comfort, to be able to live in, you know, when they heating when they need it and cooling when they need it and fresh water and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people out there that don't have the luxury of the internet, and they don't have the luxury of all the things that you take for granted on a daily basis, you know, electricity, being able just to walk over and turn the light switch on. And then for just such an emergency that we have some sort of disaster where the power grid goes down and you'd still be able to keep some lights and stuff going, or maybe even to the best extent to be able to get completely off the power grid. You know, and so there's a lot of brilliant researchers out there. So I figured if I put this show together, I can bring all these brilliant researchers from all over the world, and we can resolve issues, and we can fix things in this world together. And I believe that's the case. I believe we really could if we tried. But through all that trying to get all this together and stuff, and trying to put out videos out there on YouTube, you know, my videos may not be the most the best quality videos, as far as I'm not trying to put on some big production. It's like Hollywood. I don't have that type of budget. I just do the best I can with the camera that I got and the computers that I have, and I try to show you things that I've discovered with electricity and how things work and stuff like that, and you know, just other content that might come around that I think would be beneficial, or you know, a topic of interest. And so that's what my YouTube channel's been about. You know, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I'm not trying to, you know, pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I'm not looking for fame or fortune or anything like that. I'm just trying to share some alternative energy ideas and concepts and real science with people. You know, we have a strange world that we live in. There's some things out going on out there in this world that just are mind-boggling to me. You know, in the fuel industry, they're always saying, "No, we're running low on fossil fuel, and we got to get energy independent." But the talk is cheap, folks. It honestly is. When people sit there all day long and they talk about all these different potentials, but nobody ever gets to it. You know, where I come from, you know, the only way to get anything done is to get up and do it. And so that's what I've been doing this. And I've been criticized by even some of my closest friends. "Oh, you know, well, it's all good to get on the radio and talk about it, but, you know, you got to do something. You got to show something," and all this kind of stuff. Well, I'm doing something. I'm showing something. I got 269 videos on my YouTube channel, 8,200 and some odd subscribers. You know, I got a radio show that goes out over multiple different networks, and I'm sharing content every week with people. Taking time out of my own time and my own life and trying to give to the community some knowledge that I've acquired throughout my lifetime. Trying to do something positive for the world. And so, yeah, I'm doing something to all my friends and to all my trolls and to all the people out there that seem to, for some reason or another, find some sort of dislike enough to literally destroy my chat room. Come on, man. You know, if you don't like my content, it's easy. You just don't click on it. Don't go over to ShazizRadio.com and start cussing in the chat room and being rude to people. You know, you don't hear me on the radio doing that to you. you don't hear me talking, you know, crazy stuff and cussing you out. You know, that's not what this radio station's all about. It's about trying to make this world a better place. You know, I can't do it by myself, obviously. Otherwise, it ought to be done. But the fact is, I work hard at what I do, bringing this radio show to people. And I do it for a reason, because I see the world has a need, and I think that, you know, my little piece of the puzzle would help to make the big picture. And I'm hoping to bring other pieces of the puzzle to do the same. But it's not always easy. We're up against darkness out there that just don't want things fixed. That's why this radio show ended up getting blocked. That's why we end up getting hacked and all kinds of craziness and shutting down the chat rooms and interrupting the streams. And that's why it happens. And it's a real deal. It's not no conspiracy. It's a fact. They don't like it when you talk about things that they don't like. Things that are going to take money out of their pocket. Things that are going to give people more freedom. Freedom is a tricky thing. If you can't keep your eye on it, you might just end up losing it. Somebody will run off with it. They'll steal it right out from underneath your nose, and you won't even know it happened until it happened. Here at ShazamRadio.com, I want to try to share everything I can. You know, and I'll put the microphone out there, and I want everybody else to be able to share what they can. If you got good ideas that are you're wanting to help people out, then that's what I want to do for people. I want people to be able to have heat when they need heat. I want them to have cool air when they need cool air. I want them to have clean, fresh water. And that's not so much to ask when it comes to the world that we've been given. You know, I call it mad science for a reason, because it really makes me mad that all this kind of stuff that I know in my head, if I know this much, then there's got to be people out there that's so much more brilliant than I am that could make these things happen. There's companies out there that have the tools and technology to resolve every single issue under the sun, and yet they don't. We have to, as people, have to ask why. Why is it that these folks wouldn't want to solve the so-called energy crisis or climate change or climate disruption or climate, whatever, global warming, whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up? Real science is getting out there and testing it, you know? And when you get people that want to always argue over terminology and turn and twist what you're trying to say, I'm a simple man, folks. And I talk to the real people, the average Joe, the people just like me. And since not everybody's well versed in science and technology, I try to say it as simple as anybody can understand. I try to share this ideas and solutions with people, excuse me, the best that I can with what I got to work with. So this radio show, the live streams and everything, it comes out of my pocket. I'm not asking any of my listeners to give me any money. You know, and if I put something on the table, like an event or something that I'm wanting to try to raise funds for, that's not me sitting there saying that this is, you know, I expect you to pitch in or anything like that. No, if you feel it in your heart, you want to pitch in, and I guess you'll contact me and do that. But I'm not pressing the issue. It's not about that. It's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's not about me trying to get something for me. It's about me trying to do what I believe in my heart to be right and share things with the world. It's as simple as that. It don't get no simpler than that. You know, I share other people's videos that I like that have good content that might have something worthy of noting. When you're doing a project and you're working on a car or something like that, you might come across something that you see that works out really good for somebody, and you try it out and it works out, so you share it with your friends, and that's what I do. Excuse me, I gotta get a drink of coffee. You know, sometimes you gotta have your coffee. Every day for me. You know, life can be really stressful. and trying to do this Mad Science show, if you look back at the all the different podcasts and the years that have been doing the same thing, I've been telling people, been staying consistent, been trying to explain everything in the simplest fashion, and every time I find somebody like Daffman that did the diagrams of the Bedini circuit, I put that out there because this man made it simple. He made it so that people can understand what's going on there. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a mad scientist. Matter of fact, I'm gonna click on a link and I'm gonna post it in the chat room so that you can get your degree in mad science. It's real simple. If I can find, attend the University of Mad Science. There's a button right up above the doggone radio player in the Shaziz radio chat room, and it's the University of Mad Science, and all you gotta do is answer the question and then print out your diploma if you pass. So I'm gonna post that link for everybody, and go ahead and get your mad science diploma and hang it proudly on your wall. You know, this this world we live in, seems you gotta have a diploma for everything, and this is the best one. So oh, hold on a second, I'm reading something. All right. So, anyway, if you get your doggone University of Mad Science diploma, this certificate of graduation is presented to you, and then you put your name down in there and print that puppy out, put it in a nice frame, and stick it on your wall, and you can tell everybody that you're a free thinker, you're a mad science out of the box free thinker. You know, that's what this is all about. People think that, you know, the school book is the only way. That's the only way. Whatever the school book said, whatever you've been indoctrinated into believing, energy's not free, and so on and so forth. Well, that's the biggest hockahooey in the histories of hockahooeys. You know, it really drives me insane because, you know, on one hand, they show you all these things out there in the world that tear your heart apart because, you know, you got a good loving heart and you see that there's a starving baby somewhere in the world, and you start looking around at resources and why it is that, you know, companies like Walmart can throw tons and tons of food into garbage on a regular basis, you know. And say things like, well, you know, if we give this food to somebody and they get sick and then they'll sue us and all that kind of stuff. Man, I want to say some pretty bad things when those words come out of my mouth or into my ears. It just drives me insane. You know, there's all kinds of waste going on all over this world. And there's people in need. There's people that have to dig through the garbage to try to find things to recycle just so that they can get some pennies together. You know, and I've actually seen videos and documentaries of communities where children were standing around where adults were eating and the children were starving, picking up crumbs off the ground. You know, who does that? Man, if I was sitting at a restaurant anywhere and I saw this child that was hungry, I would get myself up out of that chair and I'd put that child in that chair and let them have my meal. And you wonder why it is old Shaziz gets mad? That's why I get mad, because every time I turn around, somebody is either mocking or ridiculing or thumbing down my content or trying to block my radio stream or crash out the doggone chat room. And all I'm doing out here is trying to do something positive for the world. I'm trying to do the best that I can to put something positive in this world. If there's somebody in this world starving, I want them fed. If there's somebody in this world that's homeless, I want them sheltered. If there's somebody in this world in a war-torn zone, I want them brought to safety. And I feel like that every good person with every good heart out there should want the exact same thing, and they probably do. But as long as I'm being told there's trouble in the world and things that need to be resolved, I'm always going to continuously look for solutions and try to share those solutions on any platform that I have access to. I got Facebook, I got Twitter, I got YouTube, I got ShazizRadio.com, I got the Super Chat, where in the Super Chat, we don't just have our chat room there, because it's not just about us, it's about Awake Radio and TCT Radio and any other radio networks that are on the board with trying to do something positive in the world. That's what it's all about. This ain't about a me, this is about an us. And so when I put this content out there, trying to be positive to the world, I guess I shouldn't expect a positive result as far as everyone out there. But you would think that if people out there really cared about this world and they really cared about themselves and their families, that they would share the message with other people that need to hear the message. There's all kinds of technology available, folks. We got every single answer to every single problem out there, every single piece of the puzzle. Now, I put a video up just yesterday. It's already got 4 thumbs down, but it's got 13 thumbs up. It's called pressure. And it's the way that I explain to people how electricity works, but they don't want that terminology because some people want to call it tension, or some people wants to add some sort of crazy made up name to a new whatever, you know, and it's not. Energy travels in a certain fashion, and energy mimics the way that other things like water. If you understand plumbing, then you understand electricity, because that's exactly how it functions, and these are natural things that you can observe with nature and how nature functions. And pressure is how you get work done. By pushing on something, you're pushing pressure against something, you know. And if you don't like my terminology, well, doggone it, just shut the radio off and go listen to somebody else with a bunch of high-tech terminology. Go listen to one of these college-educated goons that will give you some sort of thing to repeat, you know, like Polly want a cracker. You know, I ain't got time for ridiculousness. I ain't got time for the ludicrous shenanigans that come about every doggone time I try to do something positive for the world. You know, it's not the thumbs down that bothers me on the videos. It's the fact that somebody hasn't even got the courtesy to say, well, you know, I'm thumbing this video down because I disagree with your terminology. Or I'm thumbing the video down because that loud lightning crack that you got at the beginning of your videos. Hey, I actually took that out in the last several videos because it started annoying me as well. You know, but I can't go back through 269 videos and take the lightning crack out. So, hey, it's there. But that's part of my character. You know? When you go to school, the bell rings. When you go to Shaziz Mad Science, the lightning bolt crashes. That's the way it works. And I'm just an average Joe, just like everybody else. I'm not trying to talk to you. I'm not trying to talk over you or above you or try to make myself seem smarter than you. I'm trying to talk to you and share with you the results of scientific observation that I've been doing for so many years. I can't even begin to say. You know, I've been a mad scientist at heart since I was a kid. 9 years old, I was inventing stuff, some of which was already invented, but nonetheless, it still showed creativity that I had the idea that, you know, that I could do this with that, and then I'd find out that somebody else already invented it, and then I'd back to the drawing board, I'd try to find something new. And throughout my life, I've actually, you know, come across ideas that were original, and I shared them with people who then in turn went out and made a lot of money. Building a product that was based off a concept that I had discussed with them, or actually showed them a working prototype to. But it, like I said, even back then, I wasn't in this to get rich. I wasn't in it to try to for fame or fortune or nothing like that. Everybody would like to have a lot of money in the bank and resources unlimited to be able to do a lot of things. especially when it comes down to projects, you know, it takes money to do projects. And so, you know, I've been showing people how pretty much I built my entire mad science lab on recycled materials, which is another good thing for the environment. If you can recycle the materials that you're using, then that means that there's no need to go out there and make more materials. You know, digging into the earth for things that you already have in existence. And so with that said, you know, I like the whole recycled materials. I like to repurpose things. And so whenever I find something like the Fisher & Paykel direct drive washing machine motors that are like right out of the gate, a generator, and all you got to do is figure out a way to turn it, well, then I share that with people. And like the X13 motors that come out of air conditioner units that Ryan Abrams pointed out years ago, him and Terry Woodruff. You know, those are also generators. Any permanent magnet motor that I find in an appliance, like a treadmill, you know, anything that could be used to generate electricity, I share it with people. And I share all the different ideas and concepts that other researchers out there, you know, this one that I did about John Bedini, the video I just did about John Bedini, he was right. You know, there's people out there that criticize his work because they didn't understand his work. And I got 2 thumbs down on that video. I got 26 thumbs up on it. You know, so I know there's individuals out there who subscribe to me for no other purpose but to thumb down my videos every time they come up. And that's the kind of craziness that aggravates the heck out of me. These people ain't doing nothing good for the world. All they're doing is hindering the process. You know? So, if there was ever a time in history when I needed everybody's help who listens into this radio show, I seen the numbers, you know, and I reached out to each and every one of you on multiple occasions, and I'm saying, you know, look, not asking you for any money, not asking for anything but maybe a minute or two of your time. Post these links on your social media network and share this content with the world. That's it. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why I haven't got a larger response than you would think. I mean, come on, folks. Look at my YouTube channel alone. I got 8,200 and some odd subscribers on YouTube, and I'm, you know, like at the bottom of the list when it comes to search out there, because YouTube's the way that they work things. And, you know, they don't, you gotta push a bell notification if you want to know when a new video is uploaded. And so if people don't do that, or they don't thumb up the video or share it with somebody, then the content doesn't rise up in the whatever the heck you call it, where you know, only the most popular videos go. But, you know, it's just, they're just ideas out there for people. And that's what I do. I share ideas with people. I share solutions with people. And sometimes I get a bit rowdy in the way that I deliver my message. But that's why I do what it is that I do. Because I'm me, man. I mean, come on. I do what I do to try to help people out. That's it. And, you know, I enjoy science. I enjoy mad science. I enjoy anything that has to do with alternative energy. And I enjoy, you know, knowledge and learning and sharing that knowledge with people. And I don't think it's too much to ask to be, you know, left alone. And if you like the content, you show up and you listen to it. If you don't like the content, then you head on down the road and don't have to sit there and tell me how stupid I am because you don't think I know what I'm talking about. And for those folks out there that are constantly, every time I share something with them, always trying to steer me in a different direction, I've gotten to the point now where I just disassociate with those people because they just do nothing more than hinder. You know, they don't like your views on whatever, that's fine. Then they don't need to, you know, hang around, I guess. And on the videos, if they didn't like the video, they shouldn't ever clicked on it. If they saw my name down at the bottom of the deal, that's who made the video. Oh, I don't like that guy. I ain't even going to waste my time with his shenanigans or whatever. That ain't the way it works sometimes. Sometimes people just feel it necessary to get out there and just cause you grief. You know, I'm not into... I tell you, I lived through the troll wars out there on YouTube back in the day where big channels were trolling each other and that's how they got views and they even went out and bought subscribers and all that kind of stuff. There's companies out there that will sell you video views and subscribers and all that kind of stuff, but no old Shazam, he just did it the hard way. Every one of the subscribers that are on mine, I got the good old fashioned way. Put videos out, people seemed to like them, they showed up, and it just kind of went on from there. And so, with that said, there's where I am on that. So, there's all kinds of solutions out there, and I've been posting some videos in the chat room that I think were relevant. The Transformers that you see up there on the telephone pole, I posted a video link over there in the Wake Radio chat room. And actually, I did post it in the Shazoo's Radio chat room as well. But since somebody decided to trash my doggone chat room, then all the prior deals inside the where you can usually go back to the, through the chat and see old links, those are gone for the moment until I figure out how to get them back on the... How I actually had to change the entire chat room, so I went to a backup one. So that's why you're seeing the chat room right now. But I also posted those links down there in the Super Chat on the TCT chat room as well. So those have the same capabilities as far as chat rooms go, that you can actually scroll up to the top, and it will show you a little link that says previous 35 messages. So you could go back in through both of these chat rooms and you can click on these and you can see links that were posted in prior shows that you might have heard on a podcast. And then Stephen Gibbons has worked on a resource page that we'll have available for you that will have all kinds of links to all kinds of alternative energy research and such. So there's a whole lot behind the scenes that goes on in order to bring this show live every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central. And on Sundays, we do the Knights of the Round Table, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central. I do it 24 hours a day if I could, but can't. You know, I got a real life that I got to lead. I got a real family and real events going on, and also got a lot of research that I'm doing so that I can bring these videos and radio shows to the table. So with that said, one of the things that I posted over there in the chat room, you have to go on the Wake Radio side to actually get the links, and I can't click on them right now because if I do, then they'll start playing and interrupt the show. But the one link that I posted down there actually shows you how that they put together a transformer. And watching how they put it together will tell you a few things about how this thing actually functions. Those transformers actually have a capacitor built into them, and a pretty big one at that. They're step-down transformers that take high voltage, high frequency, and step that voltage down and actually store pressure in that the same way a capacitor does. They're submerged in oil so that they don't arc across each other, and keeps the stuff cool. They have lightning arresters built into them so that basically if the lightning hits the deal, it'll jump across the spark gap and go straight down and ground to the earth without destroying the capacitor, preferably, or without destroying the transformer. So it's really interesting to watch how they're actually making these. And posted another video in there that shows, you know, basic function of a transformer, how they work. And those kind of things are good whenever it comes down to knowledge of, you know, how things function. If you can understand how things function, then you can get an idea how you can create your own, you know, energy devices when needed. If worst case scenario, and you had to build yourself a generator or storage bank, that's what it's all about. So, with that said, if anybody out there wants to call in, old crazy haired Shaziz could use a backup today. It's been a rough go before Mad Science got there. Because of shenanigans. We'll get them resolved one way or another. But we're going to keep trying to bring this Mad Science show together to you. And as far as tomorrow, which today is Saturday, December 23rd, 2017. So if you happen to be listening to this now, we're talking about 24th of 2017. There won't be a live Knights of the Roundtable show on Sunday because the holiday we're going out to spend with family. And so, with that said, if you're listening to a podcast a year from now and you hear this, there might be a show tomorrow if I'm still alive by the time you hear this. Anyway, so with that Bedini circuit, still doing some research on that, still trying to find the best way to utilize it. Got that little gizmo running. If you look in the YouTube channel, I said there's a video that says John Bedini was right. So far it's got 232 views, 26 thumbs up, 2 thumbs down, and 24 comments on it. And a lot of the people that were studying that and trying to get that to work for them, they never could get the thing to run itself. And there's a reason why you can't get something to do that, because you're basically feeding power back into the same unit you're trying to draw power off. I'm going to have to do a video and explain to in graphic detail where I can actually show why it is things are working the way that they wanted them to. But in the video that I showed, you can actually pull power off where the power would have normally been wasted. And also, the load coil in that particular video wasn't being used for nothing other than running some LEDs. So it wasn't even being used to charge batteries the way that it was actually designed. I was showing that it had other capabilities to it. And with that said, that little gizmo that... it's actually a kit, a Bedini kit that somebody had bought a couple years back and put together, and they had it running for a bit, but then they couldn't get it running again, so they asked, a friend of mine asked me if I could get it running for them. And so I did. I tinkered around with it, and it was kind of rough trying to get going, but I finally got it going and figured the circuit out and all that. And actually has a place for 2 more load coils on there, so there's actually 6 places where you could pull energy off of the same doggone deal. But when you try to put energy back into the same exact battery that you're trying to draw the energy off to run it, then it shuts the system down. Well, Daftman put out a circuit that was also done that shows how you can actually switch batteries. When you got 2 batteries, one of them's running the motor, and when the voltage gets low enough on that one that's running the motor, it switches over to the battery that's being charged and switches the charging over to the battery that you just shut off. And so basically all it does is flip-flop back and forth between the 2 batteries. And those 2 batteries have no other purpose than to run the machine. And you pull the energy off of the load coils in a different direction that have nothing to do with the two batteries that are running the machine. Those two batteries are just being charged by one portion of the coil, and that's that. But they're under separate circumstances, such as it's you're not trying to charge the same battery you're trying to run with. You're charging another battery that is on another circuit, so that those two aren't interacting with each other or interfering with each other. And so you're putting energy into that other battery at the same time while you're running the battery, you're using your run battery. When the circuit detects the voltage is high enough in the charged battery and low enough in the run battery, the two will switch out. Now that other one will be charging and the other one will be running. It's a simple concept. And so had they would have took this piece of technology with that circuit, then they would have been able to get this thing to run itself. And for some reason or another, they never put two and two together as far as that goes. And it's not just this particular design. There's others out there. You know, if you take all these different things and factor them in together, this picture of the 12-volt battery changeover set basically has a Daffman put it together. He's got schematics on there that you can sit there and follow them. They're really simple. They got pictures of the resistors and transistors and everything that you need, and it basically, like I said, it just detects the voltage and puts the good battery for the run, and is charging the other one in the process. And so I'm gonna see if I can add Barry into the show here, if I can find him. Maybe he just called me. Alright, so then this is bad for radio. I'm sitting here trying to do something. There it is. Yay! Alright, folks, we're going to try to add Barry into the call. He says he's no scientist. Yeah. How you doing there, brother?
Sketch is this, but you're calling the wrong guy to get scientific input. you know that.
That's all right.
I like listening to you talk, and I try and follow what you're saying and understand some of the things you're talking about. A lot of it I can understand, but I've been blessed with one of these scientific brains, unfortunately.
Well, that's all right, because
more of a common sense type of guy.
Because you got other science that you've learned through your life as well, that you may not be under the name of science, but just about everything out there, the study of anything is, if you're doing it properly, is using the scientific method. And so with that, you always have something to add, because you know things in alternative medicine that I haven't got a clue about. So when you talk about that kind of stuff, I'm definitely interested, but I may not know exactly where you're coming from outside of, biological health kind of things that I understand as far as chemistry and such. But you see what I'm saying? Everybody's got something to add to it, and that's what the whole Mad Science show is all about, is bringing all these ideas to the table, because your piece of the puzzle and my piece of the puzzle together makes that big picture come together a lot quicker.
It's kind of like we're all on the same task, different directions, that's all.
Yeah, but it's all a means to the same end, as far as making the world a better place. If you bring all these positive information to the table, even mad science guys get sick once in a while. They need to know about alternative medicines, because we obviously don't trust the drug industry anymore.
You don't trust the drug industry?
No, and that'll probably get me hacked again.
they tell you right in their ads that, there's nothing wrong with vaccines, and that's why they have the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board.
Well, the biggest portion of every single drug commercial that I've ever seen is this long list of possible side effects.
Side effects, yeah. After the two After 10 seconds of what it's going to do to your body, they got about 40 seconds of possible side effects.
Yeah, and I'm thinking...
Including death.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. Your eczema's going to go away, and you'll look pretty when you're in your coffin.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I think I'll just stick with the original problem and work it out that way, because those other possibilities, you know, Murphy's Law said if it can go wrong, it will go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Well...
Guaranteed.
Shaziz's law is if I'm looking for it, then if I wasn't looking for it, then I'd be falling over it.
Well, that's why I kind of like listen to your shows, because it ties in everything that I'm trying to do. We're trying to solve a lot of the problems we see on the planet right now, and you're a big part of the puzzle for sure.
Well. I come in here this morning, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I get ready for the show, and right out of the gate, I start realizing that things weren't right, and then I found out that the doggone chat room was blowed out of the water, and the stream was being interfered with, and all that kind of stuff, and so I had to start trying to work a miracle, which somehow or another, an hour into what I should have been doing the show, I finally got everything resolved. And we got a chat room up again. You know, and it's really distracting when you, if you try to do a radio show live and your chat room is just totally blowed out and you can't communicate and see what people are trying to comment and that kind of stuff. I don't know why people want to take time to mess with us like this. But you know for a fact, you've been on other radio networks, it happens all the time. It ain't no tinfoil hat conspiracy, it's reality. There's knuckleheads all over this planet.
Well, I've done 4 radio shows here in the last week, Shaziz, and every one of them we had interference during the course of the show.
Yeah, they don't want you saying certain things.
Especially when it seems like we get on very, very critical subjects, all of a sudden there'll be interference on the show, and I'm not the only person this is happening to. We're expecting this to really ramp up. I think we're going to have to find alternative means to communicate with each other in the very near future.
Well, and I believe that as well, but we do want to make the best out of a bad situation while we can, and duct tape and baling wire, Barry.
Well, we'll use the enemy's tool against them right now until we're allowed to, but I can see them shutting it right down.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's the case.
Well, look what's happening with free speech in our world right now. It's mind-blowing what's going on in our societies.
Yeah.
And people aren't seeing it.
Well,
just aren't seeing it.
And that's why...
Or they don't care. What is it?
That's why it boggles my mind why the average Joe, instead of trying to criticize somebody and you know, like, people don't like my terminology, but I'm trying to make the terminology as simple... So the average Joe, not everybody's a scientist, not everybody's a mechanic, and you know, all this high-tech terminology used to explain physics and stuff, it doesn't do nothing but muddy the water and bore people to tears, and that ain't what we want to do here. We want to, you know, give them ideas, things that they can try out, you know?
We're trying to lift you up.
Yeah. And
because we are surrounded by negatives, because our whole world is nothing but negatives right now.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind, and I can see what it's doing to people and how it's affecting people's thought process and how people are just becoming dysfunctional.
And into the repurposing thing, you'd think mostly the environmentalists would really love ShazizRadio.com, because we're always showing, look, you could go out there and you could recycle this and you can recycle that, and this is good for this purpose. You know, I got a friend that uses old car tires to do above ground gardening, and he likes the old car tires because he can contain his soil in there, but the tires protect his plants and they keep his plants warm and stuff, and he gets really good crops out of them.
People building houses out of car tires now. I watched a video online about that. I mean, they're throwing them in dumps and you can build a house out of it.
What's
wrong with that picture?
Yeah, that's better that, you know, you build an earth home with car tires and they just go into the dump and go to waste anyway. You know?
Well, I'll tell you something, Jesus. If California had started building houses out of hemp 30 years ago, these fires you're seeing happening in California right now would not be knocking houses down.
Well, I believe
people should really grab that idea and run with it, Jesus, because it's something that absolutely boggles me when I think about building houses that have a 2-hour fire rating on. In other words, you can expose it to a fire for 2 hours and the product's not going to burn. You think about all the houses that just burnt down in California, all the millions of dollars in property lost, and the grief and the lives that were lost could all be put to a stop if society embraced industrial hemp for our building materials. I'm involved now with a company in Calgary, she says, that I've been talking about lately, and it's, you know what it does when I find myself now, and our world is so negative, there's so many things that are going on that just kind of, if you dwell on them, they'll really get to you. So when I start thinking about this and the potential for the human race, by simply bringing back a plant that was on our planet for thousands of years, was meant to be used by the human being, and was taken away from us, if we can bring it back, we can make monumental changes in our society. Well, and it all ties into what you're doing, buddy, with free energy, non-polluting sources of doing things. Go ahead.
The thing that people should be listening to you about what you was talking about is, number one, the strength of the material. That is a key. And number two,
four times as strong as wood.
The fire-resistant qualities, the insulation factor. You know,
R-47.
This is a material that, you know, like you said, is natural, that would build a house that, you know, there's a, remember that little story about the three little pigs?
Yeah.
The guy builds his house out, one of the pigs builds his house out of straw, one builds his out of, a house out of stick, and the wise one built it out of hempcrete.
I'd be living in that hempcrete house.
And when a big bad wolf came around and tried to blow down the hempcrete house, he failed. Substantially.
Well, the power of bringing this to the public right now, it absolutely, I spend a good part of my time now thinking about what this is going to do, how it's going to be changing our society. And here's the scenario. We stop cutting down trees. We start building all our houses out of hemp. We have thousands and thousands of acres of industrial hemp growing to provide the material to make the product. That demand is there now, so now we have fields growing industrial hemp. So after 2 years of growing industrial hemp on that field, we take a conventional crop and we plant it on that field.
Yeah.
And we sit back and our eyes bulge out of our heads as we see this crop growing three times faster than normal.
Yeah.
And produce, listen to this, about 80% more phytochemicals. And the reason that happens is because when industrial hemp is grown on land, the root system goes deep. A 10-foot cannabis plant, I don't use the word marijuana because I hate that word, a 10-foot cannabis plant can potentially have a 15-foot root system.
Wow.
So that root system is getting into the soil and releasing microbes that are never released with normal plant growth on that surface. So in other words, you're reaching into the earth and you're releasing microbes. So when you plant a conventional crop on that field, the crop just goes nuts. So now we have crops that are growing faster. We're not cutting down trees because we need the oxygen. We're providing a huge source of oxygen for the planet via the mass fields of industrial hemp that's going to be grown to provide the needs, because we're going to change this. This is a revolution coming in building, but it's got to come really quick if we want to turn around what we see going on the planet right now.
Well, let me
our planet to this is in big, big, big trouble.
Yeah, let me add to the mix something that you know, some people think is obnoxious, but there's a lot of different, like, golf courses and stuff like that, and fancy housing complexes that when their ponds get covered up with duckweed or watermill, they pay people to come in and spray herbicides down on it. Now, they could get rid of that for free if somebody knew that they could use that duckweed and that watermill for multiple purposes, one of which would be fertilizer to grow industrial hemp. You know? So,
well, it's not only that, we're talking about industries jumping. You know, people say to me that, well, you're going to kill the forest industry. Well, wait a second, hold on. We're not going to kill the forest industry. We're going to create a new industry. There will be supporting industries that come up to this, come along to support this whole new revolution in building. The jobs, there will be no loss in jobs. None.
No?
Because there's a company in Calgary that is going to be releasing a drywall product on the market here in about 3 or 4 weeks that has a 2-hour fire rating. So you can build your house with these. They look like Lego blocks, interlocking blocks, and then you can do a conventional drywall finish on the inside of the house. Well, the only thing is your house is never going to burn down. It's never going to create black mold.
Well, there you
go. That alone is one of the biggest problems we have on the coastal regions of North America, anywhere down the coast, from Alaska down to Mexico, is black mold. Because anytime you get moisture between two wood surfaces, you're going to create black mold.
Yeah.
Well, hempcrete, these products can be soaked in water and dried, soaked in water and dried 1,000 times and never create black mold.
Well, that's a plus in itself.
Well, that's just one. There's a list of things when we put this to the public, and the public really becomes educated. And it's just about educating the public, because now you can build your house with these products for the same price that you build a normal house. Well, we all know that when you build a conventional house, you have mass amounts of chemicals being emanated off those building materials. The BHPs and everything else that comes off your building materials are there from the first day the house is built to when you leave that house or you die, whatever. If you build your house with hemp, you have no chemicals. It is a clean, sterile environment. And you don't have to worry about black mold. And you don't have to worry about your house burning down. And wait a second, hold on. You're telling me this house is going to last how many years? 300 years? My God, I mean, a person with an IQ of 10 could look at conventional products as opposed to hemp products, and they should be able to come up with the same conclusion that everybody that's starting to look at this now is saying that this is a no-brainer, and it's going to come.
Well,
it's just educating the public.
Not only that, but there are methods out there. I don't know if you've ever heard of balloon houses, where you literally, you got a deal that's got impregnated concrete in it, and then you air this thing up and hose it down, and it's already a doggone house. You know, I mean, they can put them anywhere and they last several years, but you could modify that type of technology to literally, you blow up the balloon, you pour your hempcrete around this thing, put all your rebar if necessary inside there, and using certain types of different geometrical shapes, you can make it even stronger than it was before. We literally have the technology to build houses that would withstand a tornado or a hurricane coming through. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know, this company I'm getting involved in here, there isn't anybody in the company that's over 30 years old.
Well,
so what it is a group of young people, young smart guys, see it. They spent $20 million developing this product. And we're now at the marketing stage. I'm actually going to be going to Calgary, Alberta here in January to do a training seminar.
Cool.
And I'm going to be a representative for this company up here in the north.
Well,
it is absolutely no brainer, especially with the Indian villages, the native villages here. They build houses on these villages, and they literally, after 15 years, they have to condemn the house because of the levels of black mold in the house.
Wow.
They have to condemn it. House can still be standing, looks good, but the house is condemned. So the millions and millions of dollars that are wasted could all be turned around. But the most important issue of it all is the fact that we need to stop forcing the planet. We need to produce oxygen. And mass fields of industrial hemp will produce more oxygen than any forest. I looked at the numbers for oxygen production off industrial hemp, and it's a no-brainer. It's the same thing if you put industrial hemp on an acre of land opposed to a normal forest, and you harvest that forest, the amount of fiber you're going to get off the forest would be about, well, the hemp will produce about, approximately, depends on where you are in the world, about 300 times as much fiber off that same acre of land as a conventional forest. So why in the world would we ever be cutting down trees?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of people out there that
just educating the public.
Yeah.
And when people start to see this, when I talk to people, I challenge them to go look at this information themselves. And you know, people aren't stupid. And they're looking at this going, wait a second, here, there's a lot of pros to this, way more pros than cons. It absolutely is a no-brainer, but it's just a fact that we need to educate the public.
Well,
we really need to get them educated, and we're doing that.
And
I'm going to do that
because
I'm passionate about it. So
yeah,
it won't be hard for me to. Yeah.
At some point,
it changes my whole demeanor for the day.
At some point in the game, maybe we can live stream one of your conventions or something like that, and help promote it. You know, anything that is going to benefit society, you'd think that most people would be on the bandwagon, especially to save the tree people. You know.
If they benefit needed, society, so, this could save the planet.
Yeah,
which is it.
Well,
that's the power we're talking about here.
There's a whole lot of solutions that come out here on Shazia's Radio that could help save the planet. All these things in conjunction with each other, like you said earlier, is a no-brainer. Why ain't we doing these things?
Because society is a bunch of sheeple whose brains have been corrupted, that are in the Matrix and they don't realize they're in the Matrix. They think they're winning the game, but they're not even in the game.
Well,
and so it can snap society out of it. But you know what, Shazia's, we get into that conversation, and we really got to think about everything that's happened to our society to bring us to where we are right now, where people can't grasp simple ideas like we're talking about right now that are absolutely essential because our planet is dying.
Why
is that?
I put sort of a rude comment on a video the other day that was some scientists talking about how, you know, we were going to run out of fossil fuels and, you know, all these different energies weren't good enough and it'll take a long time to get alternative energies into play and all this kind of stuff. Basically, excuses why not to do things. But when I started hearing them talking about how we were ever going to run out of fossil fuel, I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, there's no way physically possible to ever run out of crude oil. No ifs, ands, or buts. The only way you can get that to occur is if nature stopped doing what nature does. And since nature continues to do what nature does, then it's always going to keep generating crude oil. And it came from the dinosaurs. It came from all the different carbon bases out there. They came from the temperature and the pressure of things that were worked back down into the system. So they said there was crude oil before all this stuff, and there will be crude oil after all this stuff. But if people were concerned about getting off of the so-called fossil fuels and more cleaning, burning fuel sources, they're already available. They have been. And you could even use the same doggone internal combustion engines, just make the doggone thing so energy efficient that they ain't wasting stuff. They're not putting out pollution. But you can't get people to, you can't get people to understand what you're saying because they've been so dumbed down and indoctrinated by the system that tells you, oh, well, this ain't efficient. Barry? How long has the sun been going according to science?
Exactly.
Yeah. How long
you
has
know
the sun been
going? You know and I know that every bit of energy we need is all around us, such as, and until society is willing to look at this and understand that this is our duty right now to embrace these ideas, because it only takes 3 hours on the internet of serious research to come to the conclusion that if we don't change it quick, our children aren't going to have a planet to live on. And I honestly feel that. I honestly believe that. Based on what I'm seeing going on right now, she says, how much more can the Earth take before she gets to a point where she says she's had enough? We don't want to get there. We can make the changes.
Well,
but people have to embrace it now, not a generation from now, she says.
I'm voting for it right now. I'm on board.
I'm 100% on board. And I know that when I... The real inspiration I feel with this company is that they're all young guys, that they all understand exactly what I feel when I'm talking to them. I can start a sentence and they'll finish it for me. So they're right on board with what I see and the potential for this product and how it's going to change building, how it's going to stop deforesting. It's going to stop deforesting because everything that you're making now out of a tree can be made with hemp. Only thing is that it's going to be about 4 times stronger than that tree. So
well, and that's what I was
If you like that idea, let's have a talk.
That's what I was getting ready to mention. There's some hemp rope out there that's like super strong, and there's also a lot of clothing that are super durable that last a long time.
Well, I got a hemp t-shirt I've had for 25 years now, and it looks like the day I got it. And if they ever do hang Hillary, let's make sure they use a hemp rope. You know, it won't break. Oh, I can't say that, can I?
No.
CIA, I didn't mean that, guys. The FBI, whoever's listening to the show right now, I didn't mean that.
I'm not advocating any violence. But look.
Me neither. Me neither. Well, I just had to throw that in there. Sorry, Shazia.
There's a lot of uses out there. There's like over 50,000 products, from what I understand, that hemp can be used for. And it's just one of so many different solutions that are on the table And mad science is bringing them to you. You know, people maybe not like mad science because of our terminology or our views on things, whatever. But the fact remains, you can't keep trashing the planet and expecting the planet to work with you. You know, you're going to either have to work with it or, you know, fall by the wayside. That's the way it happens. You know, if you dirty up your own fishbowl, then that's the kind of life you have to lead. And I'm just, well, you know.
The reason I made that statement a few minutes ago, she says, is because I do monitor sites that report on die-offs on mammals and fish around the planet on a daily basis. And I urge people to go to these sites and monitor what is going on, because the food chain is a miraculous thing, but the food chain can only stand so many pieces of the food chain being removed before the food chain will collapse. And that's what we're kind of playing with
right now.
That's
true.
If you look at stats, just the one stat that really blows my mind is that since 1970, we've lost approximately four different reports I've read between 42 and 50% of the mammals that walked the planet in 1970 are now dead. So we got to ask ourselves, how much more can the food chain take before that food chain collapses? And as the food chain collapses, which it has the potential to do, we're going to talk about mass starvation on this planet, hyperinflation on food, a breakdown of society like we've never seen before. And that's where we're heading if we keep going the way we are. Well, but we can turn it around. So I look at people, I say, we got to do this. You got to do this, guys. You got to embrace these ideas. There's no playing around anymore.
I've already heard people in my own neighborhood and my own family start talking about how prices of things are just going up and up and up. You know, things that usually cost a few cents that are allowing a couple dollars, you know. And so it's creeping in. It's going to be here before anybody even knows it. And so with that said, these solutions that we're talking about, people should be downloading ideas. They should be downloading information like hand over fist. Put it on hard copy, on flash drives, on your own networks and stuff. Because there's going to come a day when all this information that we're trying to give out for free, you're going to have to try to buy from one of these corporations that have the power, and they don't want you to know all these things. They don't want you to know about the strength of hempcrete. I mean, if they did, they would probably try to buy the idea from you and steal it and, you know, cut you out of the profits. That's the way that part of the system works, you know. They're in it for the bottom line. That's it.
Well, we're going to stop this crap about our logs being cut down, taken out of our province and shipped overseas, and the massive conglomerate giants make billions of dollars, and us poor people take it where we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And that is going to stop. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about taking on corporate giants. The logging industry is huge. Logging exports in British Columbia are huge. So what we're talking about really here is taking the power away from the elite people that are destroying this planet and putting some of it back in the hands of the people.
You know,
and it really, when it comes down to it, that's what we're talking about, Shazis.
Yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of particle boards out there that are made up of just like chips of different types of wood. You could do the same thing with
hemp. The whole world needs to go to hemp
as well. I mean,
everything we're doing can be done with hemp.
Yeah,
you're talking about.
You can literally build boards, make boards at the building.
You can build automobiles, automobiles out of them. Henry Ford did. And it was 10 times as strong as steel, but it got quashed, okay? I mean, they built a bridge in Europe with hemp 600 years ago, she says, and that bridge is being used today.
Wow.
Hemp gets stronger as it gets older. It doesn't break down. It doesn't deteriorate. And it's a no-brainer, period.
Well, that's like one of the solutions out there. You know, in the alternative energy out there, I keep trying to show people a different method by which to use the electricity. And I can't understand why I come up against so much grief because of it, you know, outside the fact that the oil industry and the power industry, they don't want people having this kind of information. And the school book doesn't even teach you the right science anymore. The doggone colleges out there, it's crazy that somebody spends thousands and thousands of dollars to go to college, to get out, can't even get a doggone job. And then you start to talk to them about something that had to do with science, something that they should already know. Physics.
They're clueless.
And their eyes roll back in their head like, what? I was taught in school.
They didn't teach me that in college.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you got a college diploma. You should know this stuff. It's basic science. It's basic physics.
I've got to step away for about 30 seconds here. I'll be right back.
All right. So, anyway, folks, the solutions are on the table. They've been on the table, and we're just trying to point it out. Look, the buffet is open, you know. Come and take the information that you want. Leave the information that you don't want. Come and drop off some information that you think people can use and stuff. That's what Shazay's Radio is all about. Jump over there to the Super Chat and get in there and get involved. That's all we've been asking. Nobody's asking you for any money. Nobody's trying to spy on you. Nobody's trying to give you anything that you don't want. We're just trying to share information with people. And so when you hear these podcasts or radio shows and you find one that's your favorite, you know, take it out there. And heck, go out and download them all. Cut them and chop them up and take out the best of all the different deals and put the best of Shazoo's Radio out there and show people all this information that you heard and have them test it. Have them verify it, you know. You'll find out that everything we talk about on here, it works. Otherwise, we wouldn't bring it to you. And that's why we do what we do. Because somewhere in this world, somebody is not living comfortably. Somebody's suffering. And we figured that if we come together with all the brilliant minds from every different nation out there, that at the very least, we can make the world more tolerable, you know. And at the best, we can make it a better place, you know. I honestly believe that if we could pull humanity together, we could really make this planet a wonderful place to be. And, you know, so that's my ultimate goal, to try to do something positive. And while you're trying to do something positive, you got to fend off against the trolls and the people that like to give you a rash because they think that they're more intelligent than you are. Look, if you think that you're smarter than me or Barry or Patty or Barbara or Steven or anybody that shows up on these shows regularly, then this probably isn't the place for you. If you think you're as smart as us, this is the perfect place for you. If you just want to learn or figure out some things or whatever, this is the place for you. You know? And I made this same exact comment on my YouTube channel. You know, and maybe it's come off sounding kind of rude or something like that, which I apologize if it did, but what I'm trying to say to people is that, you know, this place isn't for people who think they're better than each other. This place is for people who believe and understand that they're equal to one another, and that when Barry came on here a while ago and he said something about, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know if I have much to add, I try to say, look, man, you know enough about nature and natural cures that that's scientific observation. You have tested it, you've looked at it, and you know it works, and you're sharing it. So that's what science is all about, real science. You know? Barry, you might not call yourself a scientist, but you know enough about just like the hempcrete that you researched and the strength of it and all that, and that comes from observation, and that's what the scientific method's all about. You observe it, you repeat it, you test it, and it works, and that's how science is supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, real science.
Huh?
Real science.
Yeah, real science.
Yeah, something that actually makes sense.
Not that stuff they try to slap you around in school with, you know, memorize this and repeat it, and that's it, you know. I don't want you to memorize nothing and repeat it, unless you know it's good information, and, you know, coming from a trusted source, you know. But even that, don't just memorize it, test it, and if it works, then repeat it. You know, that's all we're saying.
It is so flippin' cold here today, Shazuz. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I'm sitting here all scrunched up in my chair with a blanket around me and trying to stay warm. You know, it's that global warming click kicking in. You know, freezing my tootsies or whatever, my toes.
Well, zero is freezing on your scale. It's about -32 up here on your scale right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the coldest day I've seen for a long time. It's bitter up there. Like, 2 minutes outside, and it's starting to get
Well, you just
today is stay inside and throw logs on the fire, which I just did.
You just went in the background. I can't hardly hear you, but I did hear what you had to say.
Okay. I'll make sure I keep my mouth up near the mic here once in a while. I kind of slack. I slack on.
But anyway, you know, somehow or another, if I could ever get a chance to go talk to actual representatives in Congress and Senate and just have a little sit down with them, I don't know that any of them would even remotely listen to anything I had to say. But if I could get them to pay attention long enough and share some of the things we've been sharing, I think that most of these folks, they have no idea what's available out here. It's the average Joe that knows where things are available and what kind of things can be done with what, you know, scientifically speaking and stuff, you know. And so there are alternatives out there that, you know, the mainstream science, like where they were talking about growing corn to make ethanol, you know. Well, if you had one portion of the deal, you didn't have to take up all the land just to grow corn to make ethanol. But if you had a section over here that was growing ethanol, and a section over here that was growing hemp, and a section over here that was growing duckweed, watermill, you know, all these things combined can be used for all kinds of energy purposes and all kinds of materials come about. You know, the duckweed that I kept talking about, you make fish food out of it, you can make fertilizer out of it, and it will replicate itself within 24 to 48 hours, it'll double in size, and so you could skim off half of it every day, and in the next couple of days, you'd have just as much as you started with again.
Well, you know, if Henry Ford hadn't been stopped from doing what he was going to do, all our vehicles today would be running on a hemp-based ethanol fuel.
Yeah.
He was going to power all of his vehicles, he had it down to an art. And along came the big powers to be, and they put a stop to that because oil was big money. And look where we are today.
Well, the only
we could have a society right now all being run on ethanol-based fuels.
Yeah, their
carbon taxes could go right out the window.
Yep.
What a fallacy that is.
But the only way this is ever going to come about is if people take the advice of what that grasshopper was saying on the Bugs Life show. He was talking about the ants, and he said those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And when they find that out, then our way of life is gone. And so people got to get that in their head, that the average Joe outnumbers the globalist elite millions to one. And if we ever decided that we wanted to use these alternative energies, then we could make it happen.
I think the biggest challenge we face, though, is getting the normal person to realize that if we don't make these changes, because they, you know, most people go about their lives, they go outside, they go to work. I mean, up here in the north, they go to work, they make their money, everything seems to be fine, there's still food in the grocery stores. But what we got to get through is the mystique that this is all going to continue the way it is. It's not. We're going to see changes come. And when they do start to come, they're going to be catastrophic changes in our food supply. Then it's going to be a point where people go, wait a second, hold on, we better do something about this. But by then, the problem isn't going to be able to be solved. So we really got to kind of get to people's hearts. That's why I see it. If I talk to people, I go, man, you know, if we don't make these changes, really, like one day, you know, you're going to say to yourself, well, yeah, I knew a little bit about this, but I was too busy watching the flipping hockey game, or, you know, the World Series was on, or blah, 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 blah. Life was just too busy to pay attention. They're going to have to look their children in the eye and say, yeah, we knew a little bit about it, but we didn't do anything about it. Well, and look, I don't want to be in that position, my friend, because I know.
I made this comment in the video that I did of John Bedini, that people need to start protecting their researchers. All the way back to Tesla, and probably even before Tesla, the system has stole from these people. The system has basically, in my belief, executed these people. Stan Myers, they said the last thing he said whenever he come out of a restaurant, that they poisoned him. You know, and some people say, oh, that's just a conspiracy. That never really happened. Well, look at the track record of every single individual out there who ever come out with something that was even remotely close to free energy, and they all died. They either got ripped off or they died. So, how many times has this got to occur in history before people start taking it seriously? You know, John Bedini, just about a year or so ago, he died, and his brother died. They killed them both. That's what I believe. They actually killed them both because of what they were trying to share with people. You know, Stan Myers was driving around in the 70s with a car that ran on hydrogen technology. And he had a specific way that he did it. You know, and then he died. Well, it's not the first time. It's not the first time that somebody's ever invented a machine or a piece to like a carburetor that would get better fuel mileage and then turn around and they got either sold out or rubbed out, one of the two. You know, bought off, sold out, rubbed out, executed, however you want to look at it. But these researchers out there, not excluding myself, you know, that someday whenever I put something on the table, they might just decide to rub me out. And you'll be listening to this podcast years down the line and saying, well, he actually thought they were going to rub him out. And ironically enough, this is what occurred. You know, I might be a conspiracy one day. So,
well, you know, and I know the corporate elite will kill to protect their power source and the structure they have set. Like, this is their whole power structure is being threatened when we talk about this kind of these kind of ideas. So, of course, they're going to kill to protect that. But
that's why
the trick is to get enough people on board with these ideas that they can't come out and kill us all because there's, like you said, there's more of us than them.
Yep.
And when the mass is awake, if they ever do. They're going to have trouble on their hands, and I think that's happening now.
That's why I do my YouTube channel and this radio show in the unique fashion that I do it, and there's a reason why, and it should be obvious to those who know, but those who don't know might think that I'm a quack. It's okay. It's all right to think I'm a quack. I don't care. You know? I just get frustrated, though, when you share something with somebody that would be beneficial if they actually took you serious and tried it before they denied it, that we could make things more efficiently. That's the key. You know, we have an internal combustion engine that's only 30% efficient. Now, if you with only 30% efficient, that leaves a whole lot of room for improvement. And there's people that come about with parts that would actually improve on that got shelved. So, if you're really into carbon emissions, and you really seriously want that resolved, then those are the kind of people you should have been supporting all along, and making sure that they didn't disappear, you know? Gather around them researchers, and keep an eye on them, making sure that they're safe, you know? Because those are the guys that are in the most jeopardy. Those are the ones sticking their neck out there on the line trying to bring to you information that's going to, you know, save your wallet and save the planet and such. You know, they made hemp illegal. And not just the cannabis marijuana version plan of it, but the non-THC bearing hemp, you know. And why would you make that illegal? Because it's not going to get anybody high, so it don't really fall under the whole drug thing. But their excuse was that because it looks so much like the other plant, then it's got to be bad. And they'd be able to hide this and that and be able to make both of them. Well, there's ways that you can tell which plant's which. And, you know, governments could come around and inspect and, you know, test and find out whether you're growing both in the same field. So that's not even an excuse. I mean, they got all kinds of, you know, technology these days that can tell you the temperature, by the temperature of a plant, what kind of plant it is. Because every plant puts out its own thermal signature. And so with that said, there's no excuse why governments of the world couldn't make that particular version of the plant legalized, you know, especially with the benefits and even health benefits as far as that goes. But
well,
nonetheless,
that's all changing. Now.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. You know.
No, we're gonna see the change come, just as we will. I mean, when people really start to realize that the answers that this plant can provide for us. Like I said, it all comes down to educating and getting people to actually sit down and look at it. This is what you're saying. People are listening, so
well,
I'll keep plodding away because I feel this is something I can do that will really make a change or a major change in the future.
Well, everybody and his brother, when you see something post out there, or the Barry post out there, send it and share it with all your friends, because, you know, that's the only way to get it out. You know, it's kind of like in the old days before they had mailmen and mail trucks. They used to run it by horse, the old Pony Express, ride over to your neighbor's house on a horse and give them a flash drive of information, you know, that kind of stuff, hand to hand. When you're out in public, pass out business cards or something that says ChazizRadio.com on there. You know, information to what Barry's talking about. That kind of stuff. That's the only way to get it out there on the masses, because we're up against Google, we're up against Microsoft, we're up against the government censorship and everything like that. They don't want you knowing certain things, and certain things get like taboo, you know. Google has a bot, basically artificial intelligence, that when you upload a video, it will literally scan every word you say, and it will pick out keywords, and it will rate your video according to keywords. So if you drop the F-bomb on there, it'll put it like in a certain category where it's not user-friendly, and you won't come up in the searches like you would have before. So you got to really be careful about what you say, and that's censorship at its finest, because it's not even a person that's saying it. It's a computer that's saying you're a bad egg, and so don't go to this website. I've even been blocked off of my own doggone website, saying my website wasn't safe. I'm like,
what?
Yeah. Why was...
Hang on, guys. Something's wrong here. Somebody down at Google's not doing their job today.
Yeah. And if they'd ever took the time, a human would have took the time to come in and listen in on the show and see what we post and all this kind of stuff and inspect what was going on, they would know that that was, you know, not true. But, you know, they got these SSL certificates that says that your website is secure, and if you don't pay for it, well, then you automatically go on the list as an unsafe site. Well, why am I unsafe? Because I didn't pay for a certificate just to prove that I'm safe? You see what I mean? And in the search results, only the most popular get found. And even in the doggone tags that you put in your videos, if they think that the tag isn't relevant to your video, then they get you for putting false tags in there and basically bump you down even further. So they got ways, and that's why I don't like that whole net neutrality craziness that's coming about, because I don't want the corporations, the big boys, being able to shut out the little guy, you know, just because they're more popular, you know, like Walmart.com would have more popularity, obviously, because a lot of people go shop there than, you know, ShazoozRadio.com. If we were selling a product, Walmart would get the first one, because they got more people, and that's where the advertisers want their money, their advertisement at, is the big money people, you know? So they're cutting the little guy out, they're cutting out the little researchers, and I'm saying the researchers at the bottom down here, they're better than all the ones up there that got all the trillions of dollars to play with. You know, and at least they're being honest about their findings and stuff, you know. And the only way it's ever going to get any farther is that grassroots kind of campaign where you get out there and print you up some t-shirts and share it. I actually had a design for a t-shirt that I posted back in the deal, and I wanted to see what people thought about you know, maybe have some t-shirts to wear around for advertisement and seeing how many people would actually want one of those shirts if I had them made. And, you know, so that's been about a week or so back, so I don't even know if I can even find the link. I got to skim back, but I got to do it through Awake Radio Chat, because somebody bashed Shaziz Radio Chat, and I had to, you know, go to a backup code in order to get the doggone chat room up. This is ridiculousness, you know?
It's only going to get better, Shaziz.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going to have to find an alternative means of communicating each other. That's something I think we should be working on.
Well, I'm gonna click on this t-shirt link, if I can, get it to come up. There it is. I'm going to post it again. Select all. Alright, so I'm going to post it down in the chat room. See what people think about this thing again. Because I'm really seriously contemplating on investing my funds into making some to try to get people to come listen in on the show. And actually, I'm more interested in getting people in the chat room. You know, getting them on Skype. Come in here and talk. Get on the show and share things. You know, the one-on-one. Make new friends. That kind of stuff.
Well, I'm going to have to get you on people's internet radio here. I do shows over there now. Just
cool.
Last night I was doing a show and there was 37 people in the chat room. So.
Cool.
So
well,
get you over there. This, maybe they'll listen to you.
This t-shirt said... this t-shirt said, "Mad science is the key to truth about free energy. Ask me why." And it's basically a conversation starter. And it's got www.shazizradio.com on there. I think I'm going to make myself one of these shirts, and I'm going to run around town with it and stand in front of everybody long enough for them to read it. And try to spark up some conversation. I guess they would call that promotion. You know, I'm not like a promoter, but, you know, go get your University of Mad Science diploma. It's free. All you got to do is take the test. You know, what, one question? You answer that one question. If you get it right, you get a diploma. And if you don't answer it right the first time, there's a 50-50 chance that you go back and retake the test. You'll pass it with the right answer. You know.
I'm going to have to, actually, I hate to do it to you, Jesus, but I'm going to have to leave here in a couple minutes. I had a previous commitment here today, and I've got to go out and start my truck up because it's going to take about 15 minutes. I'm supposed to be somewhere at 9 o'clock.
Well, that's all
and
right.
And it's 8:30 now, so I don't want to walk away on you, but I'm going to have to leave you here in a minute.
Well, that's all right. I appreciate your time. You know, I think what we're doing here is important.
Well, anytime I get a chance to talk with you, my friend, I enjoy it. Because we both see what's going on, we both know the answers are out there. We both feel the frustration that you feel and I feel all the time about why people can't look at simple things and grasp them. But I think we're going to see a change in society.
Yep.
I hope so. Well, that's my prayer for today.
Slowly but surely, as long as they don't get sucked into that doggone virtual reality and we lose them forever, I might even have to go into the lion's den, so to speak, and wear my t-shirt around in virtual reality and say, "Wake up!"
Yeah, okay, I'm going to leave you, my friend, but always a pleasure talking to you, and you have a Merry Christmas. You're not going to be doing a live show tomorrow, so
no.
You and your family have a great time together, because that's what Christmas is all about.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Barry. I appreciate you. Peace and love, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. So anyway, folks, there's all kinds of solutions out there on the table. And, you know, basically, we're trying to bring those ideas to the table. We're trying to share with everybody information that's going to benefit the world. Go check out my YouTube channel. That's the best way to support me if you want. And, you know, friend me on Facebook and Twitter and this, and share the links with me and stuff, and we'll put information on the table that, you know, will help people out. In the research, the last video that I put up was one that I called Pressure. Try to explain to some people why I keep saying pressure when I'm talking about electricity. And that's because voltage is pressure. That's what science says. Pressure is what gets work done. And basically, using capacitors and a diode, you can actually guide that energy where you want it to go. You can use the diode facing the positive side of the capacitor and send that energy in and pressurize that capacitor. And the only way that energy has to go is in the opposite direction. You can send it to wherever you want it. And you can do this to, you know, multiple capacitors. And so storing energy, you know, electric-wise, this is a really good piece of information. But somebody didn't like what I had to say and thumbed me down, you know, not once but four times on that video. But that don't discourage me, because 13 people thumbed it up. They liked it. You know, and on the Bedini, when I put John Bedini Was Right video out, 26 people thumbed it up and only 2 people thumbed it down. It's not the thumbs down, actual thumbs down, that gets me. It's the fact that people just thumb you down, drive off without ever even saying why it is that they disagreed with you or anything like that. Tell me why you think it is that I'm not right, and we'll find a solution to make it right. That's it. You know, I'm not putting out information that's false. I'm putting out information from observing, from doing the scientific method, and actually observing what's going on. And if I see that it works, I'm going to tell people that it works. If I see that it don't work, I'm going to tell them this is the problem with it, but I believe there's this other solution that we can use to fix it as well. All these energy devices out there that people are working with the exception of a couple knuckleheads that are just out there trying to scam people, all these energy devices have good, positive things that can be done with them. And there's things to learn from them, you know. Reducing the lens effect, all the way up to, you know, how to produce the eddy currents intentionally and so on and so forth. You know, there's ways to heat water just by spinning magnets across the copper, producing eddy currents and causing that copper to get hot. There's ways to reduce resistance. There's ways to to do so much. Wireless energy technology, done safely, plasma technology. There's ways around having to have nuclear, rods, radioactive rods in nuclear power plants. There's ways to get around poor emissions and to basically recycle not just the waste heat alone, but the carbon blow-by, everything from the internal combustion engine can be so improved upon that it gets perfect emissions on there. I believe you can actually get 100% efficiency out of an internal combustion engine if you properly engineer it. They weren't designed to be 100% efficient. They were designed to work. And a lot of people are at the mindset that if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, it is broke because it's only 30% efficient. Just by the way that you put that fuel into that engine, you can make it so much more efficient if you understood what was going on inside that engine as to where the moment you turn the key on, what's happening all the way to the time that this fuel is burning inside the combustion chamber, and the effects of how the carbon actually makes it down into the oil chamber, and how to reduce that to pretty much zero. If you redesign the ring system alone on the internal combustion engine, you'd never have to change your oil again. And they're all like, well, you know, that's impossible. How are you going to do that? It's not impossible. If you knew how those rings worked and what their purpose was for, then you'd understand that there are ways that you can resolve the issue of carbon blow-by, and therefore you wouldn't have to worry about changing your oil. Well, if we're supposed to be getting oil independent, energy independent, then you'd want to not have to buy as much oil from foreign nations and stuff. You know, not that I'm opposed to buying things from foreign nations, but to the extent where you're saying one thing but doing completely the opposite. You know? So, if there's a methods by which you can actually keep that oil clean, and if you can keep the parts from ever reaching their thermal breakdown or having the carbon grit inside the oil that's acting like sandpaper on your parts and wearing down your bearing seats and stuff, if there's a way to fix that, then you make things last longer, which means you don't have to pull a bunch of resources in order to be able to make new ones. And you can recycle the old ones. You can repair the old ones just by changing the rings in the system so that the doggone rings aren't allowing the carbon to blow past the piston. That's just one of so many different solutions out there on the table. And if people actually took the time to research it and try it, you know, before they denied it, there's methods by which we can actually build an engine that you can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on perfect efficiency in the burn and focusing the energy, the heat energy, to where only to where you want to go, than after running this doggone thing all year long, be able to take your hand and set it down on that engine and not burn yourself, because all that engine is all that heat is focused into only where it needs to be. Using everything from compression ignition to induction technology to air compressor technology, compression ignition, induction heating, air compressor technology, diesel technology, direct injection technology, and the actual gasoline internal combustion engine technology, everything from carburation to fuel injection to atomizers to vaporizers, and all this stuff in conjunction, you could literally build the perfect machine. And anything out there can be used as fuel, including water. Yet this engine is specifically designed to use water as fuel, then that water will be fuel. It'll also be part of the cooling system. If you know anything about thermodynamics, as they say, or anything about physics and anything about basic science and heat rising and cold falling and expansion and contraction and all the different things that you'll hear in science and physics, if you know all this stuff, then you can specifically choose specific materials to build these things out of. If you know the thermal breakdown of any material, then you know when its weak point begins and you know when it will fail. And so we can literally design engines that will not fail, which means they'll last longer and they will literally be indestructible, and they will only reach temperatures that you designate you want them to reach in order to have the system function the way you want it to. So, for those folks that think that it can't be done, that's because you didn't pay attention in science class. Well, I, for one, paid attention in science class. And I'm here to share that information. Because the world said we had a problem. They said that we had to fix it. Of course, we're way past their doomsday date. Now the doomsday date's been postponed until whenever. Nonetheless, they said we needed to save the planet. They said we needed to reduce carbon emissions. They said we needed to be energy independent. They said that we needed to have more efficient machines. They said a lot of stuff. But actions speak louder than words. Because I'm sitting here telling you that we have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to build the perfect machines to resolve all these issues and to be able to make these machines so that people can literally live comfortably on the other side of the world, as opposed to just on this side of the world or that side of the world. Now, I feel like that we've been given the great gift of abundance, of resources and knowledge, and if we utilized it properly and we was the good caretakers that we should have been all along, then we would have had all these things resolved, and we never would have had the issues that we're talking about. So, you know, where do we go with that? You know, you have the information on the table, and if you choose to use it, then we can resolve problems in this world. If you choose not to use it, then the status quo and the elitist of the world, they get exactly what they want, more money. Because you gotta buy their product in order to, you know, live the life that you're accustomed to living. That's the way it works. Sad but true. Nonetheless, there are good people out there in this world that are trying to do the right thing. And those are the folks that you need to be protecting. You need to be protecting your alternative energy researchers that you trust and know, and they've always done the same thing. And, you know, what more can I say that hasn't already been said? This world, you know, it has its issues, but they're not issues that can't be resolved. And so if we're ever to make the world a better place like the majority of us want it to be, then we're going to have to, you know, share this information with each other. We're going to have to get together and work together. We're going to have to do whatever necessary to make this thing come to pass, make it happen. It's as simple as that. As it's obvious by the track record of the elitist of the world that they don't really want to fix nothing. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no wars. Wouldn't be no rumors of wars or plagues or famines or pestilence. Wouldn't be all this craziness, because it'd already be a done deal. We would have done fixed it. Everything would have been just fine. But no, the greed, the ignorance, the just flat out selfishness. It's mind blowing. Don't know why, but people choose to live like that. And so I guess that's what we got to deal with. And we're going to keep bringing the Mad Science Show to you as long as we can, even with all the shenanigans that come about. We're going to still do it and do the best we can with the bad situation. We're gonna try, because that's all we can do is try. Two Dogs said in the chat room, we got wind, we got sun that will not run out, free energy, duh. He's right. When's the last time you got a bill from the sun? When's the last time you got a bill from the wind, or the river, or the earth? You know, if you work in harmony with nature, you can get things done. And that's all we've been saying all along. And these folks that are out there, the hardcore environmentalists, they're wasting all their time and effort and energy out there protesting and this. And when we could show the world a better way to do things, and most generally when the world sees that there is a better way and that it really works, and they're more apt to say to their representatives, you need to go over here and do this because this is better. That system ain't working. It's polluting our environment, and we don't like it. We like fresh water, and we don't like the crud that you're spraying or whatever. So this is what we need. This is what we expect, and this is where we want to go. After all, aren't they there to represent you? Wasn't that their purpose all along? They were supposed to be there to represent the best interests of the people, not to sit there and enslave you and beat you down and shoot you and throw you in jail and all that kind of stuff. No, they were there to serve. To serve and protect is what they were supposed to be doing. You know, they took an oath of office to take care of things, and when they started violating that, selling out, taking bribes, and the system became as corrupt as it is, and the scientists lost their courage to actually speak the truth about real science. And then when you got people out there that will literally put misinformation and bogus science on the table for the world to believe in, teaching kids in school the ridiculousness of carbon emissions being causing the planet to heat up, you know, it's just crazy. Nobody learns about photosynthesis and that carbon is the plant food for the plants that give us fresh oxygen when they scrub off the carbon for the plants. They give us the air to breathe. No, they're saying you got to get rid of CO2. Well, newsflash, you breathe out CO2. Newsflash, CO2's in your soda. So you're going to have to drink flat soda if you want to get rid of CO2. Got to cut down those carbon emissions. Think I call it mad science for nothing? No, I call it mad science for a reason. And it just drives me insane. It drives me insane that we've been sitting here for all these years and we've been trying to help the people understand things that we point out and help them to find links to information to benefit them. And at the same time, sometimes even within your own circle, you get people that are there to do nothing more than distract and hinder and disrupt and basically call you stupid. You know? Am I saying that I know everything that there is to know? No. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. We'd already had it resolved. It's been done deal. But, at the same sense, I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about it, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. And if you don't like my terminology because it doesn't match your terminology or what you think a definition of a word should be about, if I can explain it to somebody in simple terms where even the average Joe who's not an electrician or electronics engineer or mechanic or whatever, but they can understand what it is that I'm saying and that it fits in with what basic science and physics has already said, well, then, you know, that's the way I'm going to do it. And so, while you sit there and mince with words and twist terminology and try to twist what I'm saying to further your own agenda, all you're doing is disrupting. You know, I get people to get angry with me because I share my faith once in a while. I don't force it out there, but I share it once in a while, and they disagree, and they want to try to convince me of their side, and they'll get mad, and they'll walk away because I don't agree with them. Or whenever I talk about physics, or I talk about NASA, and, you know, the shenanigans that goes on over there, and the millions of dollars that they're wasting $50 million a day, that's a lot of money. For $50 billion a day, I can't remember if it's $50 million or $50 billion, probably $50 billion. Now, nonetheless, even if it's only $50 million, that's a lot of money being wasted. When, if we had access to those kind of funds, we'd already had all this resolved. There would be machinery out there that was clean running, alternative, renewable, green energy, everything that the so-called people, elite of the world, and the news medias and all them people that claim that that's what they want, it would be done deal. It'd already be a done deal because we would have the research facilities and machinery enabled to make things to prove them. But when you're working in your garage or your basement or your shed and you have to try to scrounge up for tools and machinery and resources, it's not such an easy task. There's good researchers out there. Mark Brash over at Zero Fossil Fuels and Russ from RWG Research and all the guys that I mentioned on the show prior, you know Ryan Abrams and Terry Woodruff, they did some amazing things with Tesla coils and stuff like that and showed about them X13s. Those were good information that came up out on the table. Those were good researchers and they were good family men and awesome people. Somebody ran them off. There were a lot of brilliant individuals that came to the table and some knucklehead ran them off. I wish they'd come back, honestly. Because we need all the brilliant minds of the world at this point in the game to stick together. And we need the people, the good people of the world who care about making the world a better place to protect those researchers. Protect them, to keep them safe. You know, right now, John Bedini and his brother, they're not with us anymore. And it's my belief that they were taken out of the equation. And I honestly believe it was due to dastardly deeds, so to speak. Just like Stan Myers. And just like Nikola Tesla was ripped off from his intellectual ideas and property, I feel like that all the way through the history of time, dating way back prior to the 1800s and all the way up to modern day, that people have literally did everything that they could to discourage and steal from those who are trying to make things to benefit the world. And that's why I do what I do. They said there was a need. I came to help address it. You know, like I said, I may not be the smartest man on the planet, but I'm very well not the dumbest one either. And all this stuff that I talk about on Mad Science Show is based on real science. Real science, like the science they used to teach back in the day. Nowadays, kids don't have real science. They got access to technology, and they know how to use these computers. And they know how to get on the video games. They know how to find all the secret codes and all that kind of stuff. But imagine what they could do with the knowledge that we've been trying to share for years if they had that knowledge in their head and the computer skills that they got now combined. That's all we've been saying, folks. That's all we've been saying. So, if you like this show, and anything here that I said today resonated with you, I'm asking again, and I'll ask again every time I do a show. Send these links to people. Invite them over here to the Super Chat and Chaziz Radio to look around and share the information. Share information in the chat room. Share information on Skype, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, all the different places, social media networks out there. Help me to help the world, because I can't do it by myself. I got a lot of good ideas, and I sure would hate to see them go to waste. I want to see this world fixed, and I believe that we have everything necessary to do so. I know, scientifically speaking, we have every single answer to every single problem to resolve all the issues on this planet if we choose to do so. I'm sitting here trying to rally the troops. I'm going to have me a shirt.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God, I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor stores. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Bucky, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to
explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.